This is Pastor Jeff Chavis. I'm the pastor of Church Online. We're an online community of faith, and you can find us at churchonline.com, but we spell that uniquely. We spell it C-H-R-C-H online because we say all that's missing is you. This morning, I've been thinking a lot about Jesus' prayers. We're going through a series right now in church about Jesus praying. And we probably don't really think about that very much, but 20 times in the Gospels, it mentions Jesus praying. Now, only a handful of those have the recorded words of Jesus, and most scholars will tell us that even those ones that list the recorded prayer, there's probably more to the prayer than just the simple text that we have. The one that seems to be the longest recorded prayer and maybe the fullest recorded prayer is John chapter 17. And this is probably one of those great times for us to reflect on John 17 as we're getting closer and closer to Easter. We're getting closer to the final week of Jesus. And this is one of the things that Jesus was about in this final week is praying for his disciples, praying for the ministry that lies ahead. And John 17 has just a great picture of that. But it caused me to step back and really think, can you imagine what it would be like just to sit next to Jesus as he's praying? I mean, I can imagine just the anguish and what he would be saying to the Father in the garden. That would probably be just bring us to tears if we could hear all the words. What else did he say? Well, John 17 is one of the great examples, and I want to take us there for a moment this morning, and just two verses. I know this is an entire chapter, and it has a lot of prayer, but just two verses I want us to focus in on. So you get that image in your mind. This is in the upper room, and we probably have just a picture in our mind like from some classic painting or something that here's Jesus and all the disciples together. But this is after he's washed their feet, after they've had the Passover, after they've broken bread, after he's taught them, after Judas is gone, then he prays. He first prays in John 17 for them. And one of the things, yes, of course, to protect them, but that God would lead them and that God would guide them through what's happening next. Then in John 17, 20 and 21, he prays for you and I. Now, that's going to maybe shock some of us, right? Jesus prayed for me? He did. Listen to these words. John chapter 17, 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Did you catch that? That's us. We believe in Jesus because of the word of those apostles, those disciples that he had. In fact, we're reading from John's gospel. One of the guys that's in that room, he wrote these words down as the fulfillment of even this, the ones who will believe because of their word. And what's the subject of his prayer? Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That prayer, that is that one verse, one even part of a sentence, so incredibly powerful. And I want us to really think about what Jesus is saying. His prayer for those that would follow this group that he's in the upper room with, those of us that will believe because of their word, because of their testimony. First, he says that they would be one. He prayed for unity. He prayed for us to be one. And I've got to think in my mind, Jesus prayed this out loud. It's in print. And what is the one thing that the enemy is going to attack us in the area of unity? Because it is so important. In fact, the stakes are incredibly high. It's the last line, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's an incredible way of thinking about it, us to be unified as the body of believers in Jesus Christ is to show the world who he is. How does that work? I love this this quote, Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite commentators. He wrote a series of commentaries called the Be Series, Be Alert, Be Alive. In his commentary on John's Gospel, he says this, "The lost world cannot see God, but they could see Christians. And what they see in us is what they will believe about God. If they see love and unity, they will believe that God is love. If they see hatred and division, they will reject the message of the gospel." Do you hear how powerful this one verse is for us today? He prayed for us, and the prayer was that we would be unified in such a way that the world will believe that you sent me. And Warren Wiersbe says that so well. I love that first part. The lost world can't see God, but they could see us. They see Christians. And what does that say to the world when we can't even come together? We can't even agree. I don't know about you, but I've been in churches where we argue about so many things. We argue about the color of the carpeting. We'll argue about so much. But Jesus' prayer for us was that we would be unified. And oh, listen to the deep unity that we're talking about. "Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us." Okay, for us to be at that level of unity, like the Trinity itself, like Father, Son, and Spirit, that's the level of unity that he wants for us. But then also notice that last part, that they would be one in us. This is only going to work if we are united together with Father, Son, and Spirit. That's the only way that we could possibly have that kind of unity. Now, by the way, I want to be very clear about this. I'm not saying that the things that divide us aren't important, because I know there are many denominations, many churches, and the truth is we often act like, I don't know, we're rival gangs or something. We don't talk to them, they don't talk to us. But the reality is, are they followers of Jesus or are they not? The enemy would have us to believe, no, they couldn't possibly be because of this one little thing. And I'm not suggesting we put aside the things that we consider doctrinally is significant. But the truth is, if we really started to talk to and talk through some of these differences, we might find that they're not that different at all. We might find that our belief in Jesus Christ together is stronger than it is for us being apart. What could it say to our world, to our town, to our neighborhood, if we became more united as the body of Christ? What if we came together with other churches to serve and love our community? Now, I know this is happening in different places around the country. I've talked to different churches and different pastors, and I know that there are moments when we can all come together. I know it happens during disasters, doesn't it? But it doesn't have to take a disaster. In fact, the reality of it, this unity begins right where we are, with every one of us. If we could just begin to pray and have God open our eyes to who else in the family is around us. Maybe it is our neighborhood. Maybe it is our workplace. Maybe it is somewhere in our town. But us coming together and becoming more unified. Then, Jesus' words, that the world may believe that you sent me. That the world would believe in who Jesus is. Maybe the greatest evangelistic effort we could possibly make is for us to become a bit more unified.